Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is one of your hosts, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams, also known at the table as Mama. Mama, how are you this evening?
Oh, good evening. I am just much, much better, and it's just a pleasure to be back with my family. And I say good evening to my PRF. Good evening to my family, and I really missed you all, and it's so good to be back with everyone.
Well, we are glad that God has done a work in you and got you back to the place where you were able to be with us this evening. So we're definitely thankful,
Thank you.
For that. So listen, we're talking tonight. This is episode 4. This is like the finale, Mama. This is the last show that we're going to talk about what we're talking about. So if you've been with us every Thursday here on Blog Talk Radio on the PRF table, you know that we've been talking about financial healing, and we haven't just been talking about financial healing like, oh, it's just there, it's just waiting on you. No, we've been being real intentional about what we're talking about, and the word has been get moving towards it. That's been the word, get moving towards it. The reality is if you sit there in the bed waiting on your healing and you have the ability to go towards your healing, then why would God give you your healing? So we've been talking from our good friend Elisha. We know what Elisha has said in 2 Kings chapter 5, or Elijah, excuse me. We know what he has said. If you've missed any of the previous shows, all I'm going to say is, because I don't want to recap everything, but if you've missed any of the previous shows, I'm just going to tell you to go to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, PRF, which is Papa Romeo Frank, PRF table, and you will see all of the shows that are there. I'm encouraging everybody, Mama. I'm encouraging everybody to please go and listen to these previous shows. I'm telling you that they're going to bless you. They're going to bless you not because of what we're doing, it's because of what God is doing. God is tired of his people struggling financially. God is tired of his people being lackadaisical financially. God is tired of his people going through the same spirals over and over and over again. He's tired of the way certain things regarding our possessions, resources, and our finances, Mama, have been generational, you know. So I encourage everybody that's out there listening, let today be the day where you say, I'm going to stop it. Let today be the day where you say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I do what Proverbs said and leave an inheritance for my children's children. I don't care whether you're 60 years old, you children's children. It doesn't matter. You can be 70, you can be 8, children's children. Let this day be the day where you say that. See, nothing's going to happen until you do something. And that's where we're going to be. We're concluding, Mama, what we're doing. We're ending this. This series is over after tonight. The good thing is everybody can go back and listen to the archives. So here's what I have two questions. I have two questions, Mama, but I want to make sure that we really help people to understand where we were with Naaman. So I'm going to give a little bit of have a little bit of conversation around Naaman, because I want people to get the ending of Naaman and what happened at the end of the story with Elisha, the prophet, and Naaman, that mighty commander from the king of Aram. Naaman had all these doors on himself. And what Naaman did was, Naaman went because the word of God spoke and said this is what he needed to do. The reality was, the word of God did not come from a priest. It didn't come from a pastor. It didn't come from a deacon. It didn't come from the pope. didn't come from your bishop. The word of God came from a little girl. A little girl who was captive. And see, I have to bring that part up before I go to the last part, because just because you're in a financial situation that is not favorable, that may not be pleasant, doesn't mean that God cannot use you to bring healing to somebody else. See, how many times, Mama, have you heard people say, well, when I get myself together?
Yes.
Well, how many times have you heard some joker say out loud with this foolishness, well, you can't say nothing to nobody else because you got some stuff going on. Everybody got stuff. So if the reality is, if it's about me having all my stuff together, if that was the reality, then all the pulpits should be empty. Nobody should be able to go in the pulpit because everybody has stuff.
Amen.
So there's no reason to try to parse my stuff from your stuff. We all got stuff. And so it's the same thing with healing, particularly financial healing. There's all of us, we have some area of our possession, resources, and finances. One, everybody has at least one of those lessons that I can show you if you gave us the opportunity where you need some financial healing. See, the reality is, when you talk about financial healing, we're not talking about just people just being broke, busted, and disgusted. If there's some things that are going to be detrimental to you or to your family or to your household, those things need to be healed. But see, a lot of times people don't see their own ailments. They don't see what's going on as a sickness. But what happens is, if you think about it, Mama, you talked about how there was something going on with you. You talked about probably a couple months ago we were talking, and you said you didn't do anything about it, and then you didn't do anything about it. The next thing you know, it's a big old issue. Well, nobody's most people's financial challenges, Mama, don't come all of a sudden. Many people's financial challenges come from the fact that it started off as a little boo-boo. A little boo-boo just, you know, wind up getting a little pus in it, you know, and then it started getting affected. And then now, here we go. See, when it's all pussy and nasty and all that kind of stuff, right, think about leprosy and think about where we were with Naaman. When it gets to be that point, that requires medical attention. But before, it may have just needed a Band-Aid and some air. It may have just needed to rinse it off and put some oil on, some alcohol on it. Yeah, you burn for a little while, and then you'll be okay. Stop crying. But when this stuff gets to be big, when it gets to be bubbling over with pus and nasty, and you looking at it like, ooh, what's wrong with you? And see, that's the same way it was with Naaman. With Naaman, when I tell you that it was the same way with him, what was going on was he was not looked at favorably by society because of how he looked. And the reality is, with this thing called financial healing, people are so much able to have the same thing going on like Naaman, it's just on the inside.
Right.
So there's probably a whole bunch of people that are dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, I know this for a fact, on the inside, but you see them driving what you see them driving, you see them vacationing what you see them vacationing, you see them on Facebook balling out of control, going to this place, going to that place, always at a restaurant, doing all this stuff. But if you flip their skin on the outside, they may look just like Naaman. Yeah, it'll look like zero in the bank. It'll look like 400 credit score. It'll look like no savings. It'll look like no insurance. It'll look like don't have a will. It'll look like all of that stuff. And so we're saying, look, enough is enough. So I'm going to tell you, the thing that Naaman listened to the word of God. He listened to the voice of God. That's what he did. He listened to the voice of God. And as he listens to the voice of God, he got his healing. And see, I think that's what happens a lot of times, Mama. A lot of times what happens is, as a thing of Christendom, as a thing of ministry, as a thing of pastoral care, there is this spirit to not want to see people hurting, Mama. And so sometimes when you don't know what to say, then you say what you think you should say.
Right.
And what a lot of times people think they should say is, God's going to bring you through it. That ain't always true. A lot of folks still die. So it's not that God is always going to bring you through it. Oh, we just declaring and decreeing in the name of Jesus, when you wake up, it's going to be okay. Okay, that ain't always worked out. I know a lot of people that's like, okay, whatever that man said to you last night evidently wasn't right, because look at where you're at right now. Well, it must not have been your right timing. It must not have been right timing. Okay, let's stop with that foolishness. Okay, so I'm trying not to digress. Naaman did what the voice of God said. Naaman did what the man of God said. Naaman listened to the people who were around him. Naaman received his healing. But it wasn't just about received his healing. He took those faith steps towards it. And everything that Naaman did from verse 1 all the way through the time when he actually dipped himself in the Jordan River in verse 14, if you go back and look at it, you'll continuously see everything he did from point A to point B, point B to point C to D, D to E, E to F, all those were, they took acts of faith. And so that's all we have to do. And I hate to say all we have to do. That's a big part of what we have to do, Mama. We have to take those steps. And see, you have to have folks around you, just like Naaman had to have folks around him when it gets tough, when you run into that brick wall, right? When you get a call today and say, something wrong with the truck. And it's gonna cost $400 for the part. What the hell going? Did we just put truck tires? Did we just put three tires on this thing, almost $1,000? And now we got this? So okay, what do? Do you keep going forward? Or do you say, you know what, just let the truck sit there? Let the truck sit there. Forget that. I ain't doing none of that. No, that's not how you get your financial healing. I'm telling you, you get your financial healing by doing what Naaman did. You keep pressing on. You keep pressing on. You keep pressing on. You keep pressing on. The word for Naaman was, go wash and be cured. And Naaman did it. And so here's what I'll say as we transition, Mama, and then if you have something to say, please. As we transition out of 2 Kings chapter 5, here's the big thing. Once Naaman received his healing, Naaman didn't sit on it, Mama.
Yes.
You know me. You know I don't wait till the end because, you know, I may not make it to the end of the episode. You know, God may say, you know what, be quiet, stop, that's it, it's over, show done for the night. So I say it because, you know, you wait until the end of the show, you may miss it. Bottom line is, Naaman did not, he didn't hold it. He didn't hold it. After Naaman received his healing, right, Naaman went back to find the man of God. He went back to find Elisha. And he made a declaration. Now I know that there is no God in all of the world except the God of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah. There's no God. That was deep. And then he said, please accept a gift from your servant. Hold on. You have this commander that puts himself into a place of being in servitude. That's powerful. That's humbling.
Yes.
That's humbling. That's humbling to be used by God and then somebody come back and be like, let me just give you the testimony. He had to give him a whole testimony. He just said, from this point on, I know ain't nobody like God. So I'm just telling you, you want your financial healing. Are you willing? See, you can't say it right now. I don't know what that is in the background, but you can't say it right now, Mama, right? You can't say it right now. I know there's
Yes.
See, it's too easy because we got the word. We see what Naaman said. But what's going to happen when God releases that financial healing to you and you get it? God is going to have a word for you that you're going to have to communicate. And see, you can't be shamed, Mama. You can't be shamed.
Yes.
You're going to have to say what that is. And when you say what that is, that's when other folks are going to be blessed.
Yes.
Because they're going to hear you saying it. What God is trying to do, what God desires to do, is to heal his folk.
Yes.
2 Chronicles 7:14. He desires to heal the land.
Amen.
But there has to be something going on. There has to be somebody there that's willing to just take the bull by the horns and say, you know what? I'm gonna ride this thing. I'm gonna ride this thing out. I remember when Jasmine was born. the morning Jasmine was born. I was in Virginia, stationed in Virginia, and I remember getting the call from her mom and going into labor. I'm 4 hours away. Mama, that night, I know I had messed around and somehow had some seafood, and I took some Benadryl, and I was out of it. What I had to do was call my man, McKeel, who was at the house, and I said, or close by. I said, look, man, I need you to drive me to Philly. My man drove me to Philly while that medication wore off to try to get there for the birth of my child. That's powerful stuff. But look at the whole thing is there was other folk around. There's other folk that are there that God has ordained to be able to help you with your financial healing. So just because I wasn't in the right place to drive myself, God had ordained for me to have a good friend there. So I want to just say, everybody, PRF Teaching Ministry, we desire to be a friend to you. But if you don't accept this friendship, if you don't accept this gift that God has given, then stay where you are. And when you decide to come, it may take a longer time to go through the process.
Amen.
We don't want folk to wait and have to go through the process.
Right.
Mom, did you have anything? I'm just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm undone.
Yes, I have something to say.
Please.
When we were, we went to Philadelphia. I went to Philadelphia to my granddaughter's graduation, and it was beautiful and everything. So I my son took me over to, we were all together, so we split up. So as soon as I got at his godmother's house, I stayed with her. And we were talking about some things in the Word and everything. And soon as I walked up those steps, because we were going to share some Word, pains hit my stomach worse than having a child. And I just didn't know where it was coming from. And then I just seemed like this. I started all this sweating and everything that goes along with it. And then the whole night I was up sick and everything. But I didn't have the urge to call my son to say, take me to the emergency room. I just didn't. And so as time went by, I was able to hold some food down. I just ate some soup, and that stayed down and everything. And my pain seemed to cease. That Sunday, I mean, when he came in, came over to his godmother's house to see me, he had talked to her first, and she told him what was going on, and he bought me some Gatorade and everything. When I saw him walk through that door, I'm telling you, I just feel the anointing now. All I could do was look at him and say, you look so good, Nate. But it was the anointing. And all I wanted was my son to pray for me. So I said, Nate, I want you to pray for me. Meanwhile, my son's trying to minister to me. But I felt so desperate and I felt so weak. It just seemed like when he came in, though, this anointing came with him, and I got the strength to say, I just want you to pray for me. And I reached out my hands, and he reached out his hands and had a bottle of Gatorade in his hands, and he wanted to know what was going on. And I told him. And so at the end, he told me, he said, Mama, you pray for yourself, you know. And I was just felt so I said, man, you know, because I wanted that anointing on him. I just felt a little better, you know. But as the night went on and he left and everything, I started sipping on that Gatorade, because when he brought it into me, I said, there's no way my stomach can tolerate all this here. But when I started just taking a little bit of it, like you said, make that first step. Don't just let it sit there. Try and see. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I took the first sip. My stomach started settling. Hallelujah. It just started settling. And then I got in that mind that I could pray for myself. And I said, I didn't feel so rejected, because it's times like you said, you told me before, Nate, you said your healing is right here in front of you. And ever since then, I did get better, but I had to go to the doctor, and the doctor told me what's wrong, so I'm still on medication and everything. But I'm telling you, I got through the day, and I came home, and I wasn't sick the way I was sick before, you know, he walked in the door. So as we're talking about financial healing, it's the same process. Because as I'm looking at that big thing, that big quart of Gatorade, it was like, that's just too much for me to take. My stomach's not tolerating anything. But I went on ahead and took it anyway. And even right now, I'm sipping on Gatorade, and it's making my stomach feel better. So it's just in something small like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that he sent the man of God in there, and I want him to do this great praying for me. And I think everything's going to be all right. But God said, everything's already all right. But I need you to do something. Hallelujah. I can go on and on. So I'm sort of excited about God because the same thing that's in our financial healing. I mean, our financial finances. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? It's here. I'm listening to it. I'm part of the ministry, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just, this is just awesome. Okay. I'm excited.
That's a good word because remember, I mean, you know, we'll move past naming when God says so, but the faith steps with Naaman was, remember when he went to Elisha's house?
Yes.
And Elisha didn't come out.
Yes.
And then he got mad when the messenger came out.
Right. Right.
And so that's when he got mad. And he stalked away, stomped his foot, you know, threw a little temper tantrum, and it's that same type of thing. A lot of times, we think that it's going to happen the way we want it to happen because of who we are, because of what we've done, because of how long we've been in the church. Joker, please.
Amen.
You know how many folks that have been up in the church 40, 50 years and still don't know the basics to PRF? The basics, mama.
Yeah.
Basics. The basics is God owns all of this.
Yeah.
God owns everything. He created everything. So you ain't got the right to mess stuff up. Because it ain't yours.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
Okay. So the reality is, the bottom line is, if we were going to end the show right now, it would be on this note. When God offers the financial healing and you accept the financial healing, be prepared to communicate with others about what God has done. God does not heal somebody for him not to get glory. Not that he has to, but because he's doing it. How in the world you ain't going to say thank you to the one who offered it to you? That's like me buying a gift for you for Christmas, and I send it in the mail to you, or I bring it to your house, and you just open the gift and be like, oh, man, this is great. And you don't even open your mouth to say thank you. Huh? Next time, 364 days come back around on December 25th, don't expect nothing. And that doesn't mean that I don't love that person that I gave the gift to, but we all want to feel appreciated for what we've done for somebody. So God is the same way. So since God has placed all this in the earth for us, I'm going to say without a shadow of a doubt, we got to make sure that glory gets back to God, not to us. Have to make sure that glory gets back to God, not to us.
Amen. Amen.
We have to be willing to say it. And then I can even go as far as saying when he went back, there was a change of behavior.
Mm.
When Naaman went back, he said, now when I go back to Aram, never again am I going to be offering burnt sacrifices, burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other God except this God. So if God provides you a financial healing, that should also be a time when you repent and you turn from something. See, a lot of times people get it mixed up, mama. They get it mixed up. A lot of times when God comes through for folk financially, they think they got to do something financially. Okay, I got my credit is straight. So now what I got to do is maintain my credit. Wrong answer. Whatever else is going on in your life, that's a good thing to do. But you got to be wise. What else is it in your life that you need to repent and turn away from? Because it's not just the financial situations that get people into financial situations. There's other stuff that get people into financial situations. Not having insurance, knowing you need insurance. Not paying the bills. Being stressed out when creditors call. Now got medical problems. All that stuff flows in the same realm. It's all connected. These things are not just isolated incidents. Jokers don't commit suicide, mama, when the stock market crashes. They just don't do that just to do it. It's not because the money ain't there. It's because of what's attached to the money. What's their perception of the money? How the money makes them feel? What type of status is it? Mama, we lost $20,000+ in the stock market several years ago when the stock market crashed over a weekend. I don't make $20,000 in a weekend, so you know sure as heck I didn't feel good about losing it in a weekend. But committing suicide, jumping off of a bridge, that was not anything in my mind. Because you know what I realized? God allowed us to get it. He has the ability to allow us to get it back. So we keep it moving. We keep it moving. We keep it moving. So look, if you're listening, you want to jump into the conversation. We're about halfway through tonight's show. The number to call in is area code 347-215-7934. If you're listening online and you want to jump into the conversation, you can still listen online, but you can also call in 347-215-7934. If you're also online and you want to send us a note, you want to be on Facebook and you want us to read your comment, your question online, just go on to our Facebook page, which is PRF Teaching Ministry, or facebook.com/PRFPRF. All right, so listen, mama, we in the last half of the show.
Yes.
Okay. I started thinking earlier today, God just really took me to Luke chapter 8. And I think this is, I know this is just where God wants us to be, so we may run a little bit over, but that's fine because it's all in God's timing. God showed me something a couple of days ago. He showed me something out of Luke chapter 8. And I think some people may know and may have heard about the woman with the issue of blood, right?
Yes.
There's a woman with the issue of blood. And excuse me, as Jesus, I mean, just starting right before verse 43, as Jesus went with him, we're talking about Jairus, he was surrounded by the crowds. Verse 43, this is critical. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. I'm not going to go to the end because, see, again, just like with the story of Naaman, right? We're not going to go to the end where he obeyed, right? And he dipped, and his skin was made like a baby, and he was healed, you know, that inside, the internal. We're not going to go all the way to the end where so many people know. Can we just talk, mama, can we just talk about that? This woman was in a crowd. There was a crowd of people. And she was suffering. She was in a crowd of people. She was suffering. And she was suffering for 12 years. That right there has so much in it. One, because she was in a crowd. And I think about how many people are in a church. Suffering financially. I think of how many churches we have in our communities and how many people in those churches are suffering and how many churches are suffering because the people are suffering. So when the people don't have, then you can't give what you don't have. Or churches may have made decisions that was not what God wanted them to make a decision, like building on this or building onto that or erecting this. Stepping out there, making certain type of decisions, having sleeping with the enemy, if you will, being involved. People are suffering and churches are suffering. Bottom line, financially. I don't know any truly, truly, truly financially stable congregation. Not large ones. Because what continues to happen, what I've seen is the larger the congregation grows, the more expectation from leadership that We have to do bigger and better things. And so then things get purchased. Things get leased. Things get built. And there's always, it then becomes a constant cycle of the people having to continue to give, to continue to funnel that stuff. But what about the people?
Amen.
Just because more people are coming don't mean that all of us at our jobs are getting promotions every year.
Amen.
It's a good thing to pay off the church mortgage, but it's a bad thing when people in the church are getting put out their house. People getting put out their apartments, repossession cars being repossessed. But yeah, we're going to pay the mortgage off? All right, I digress. Bottom line is, just like us, this woman was in the crowd. We are around people all the time that are suffering financially. A lot of times we don't know it. Think about the crowd. The crowd, Mama, did not know that she was suffering. I guarantee you they did not know that she was suffering for 12 years. Not everybody in the crowd. Guarantee it. But there may have been some people there that may have known it. But the Bible doesn't tell us that, so we're not going to go there. But if you look at what the word says, Mama,
yes.
She was bleeding for 12 years. She was suffering with that ailment for 12 years. Now, here's something that I think is crucially important for us to remember. Just because she was suffering for 12 years makes that no less or more important than somebody who's been suffering for 2 years with their finances. See, we have to make the Bible relevant because the Bible is a relevant tool for us. She was suffering for 12 years. So what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to put any more stock into her issue of 12 years than I'm going to do for the next person who says, Dr. Dunlap, I need some help. I just got laid off my job. That person ain't been out of work for 12 years. But does it have to be out of work for 12 years to know that they're suffering?
No.
Somebody who no longer works and applies for Social Security and has to go and apply 2 and 3 and 4 times because the system is automatically, I'm going to say it, automatically corrupt. They're all going to, I done paid into Social Security. When I say I need it, give me my money.
Amen.
If not, I could do something with it. I probably could do better with it. Especially, okay. Bottom line is, the woman was suffering, and in retrospect, for us today, a lot of people are suffering.
Right.
And the time doesn't matter. So we don't even need to get wrapped up into 12 years. Doesn't matter. If people are suffering, they're suffering. They're suffering. Because how do you quantify constant bleeding to a financial situation? Mm-hmm. You can't quantify that because what you don't know is how often the devil is in somebody's head about their financial situation. What you don't know is how often that person is thinking about it. You don't know what triggers are around us. So when you say, man, I can't wait till payday. But yet you don't know your brother or your sister, they just had their last payday last Friday. So we have to be real cautious. We have to be real careful. We have to be connected with one another. So when somebody is suffering, we understand it. We know what they're going through because we're with them. The Bible says, when I suffer, you suffer. When I rejoice, you rejoice. That's what Paul said.
Yes.
So here's my question. While she was suffering for 12 years, where the heck was everybody else? See, I know that's not the point of the text. I know it's not. But that's a question that I think is worth asking. Is asking. Where was everybody else? Everybody else. She was around a crowd. It didn't say she was around family. Where was her family? We call ourselves a body of believers. We go to church 2 and 3, 4 times a week, conferences and all. Where is the family? Don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But that's a good question. Because when folks are suffering, the first question we could say, if one of my partners come to me and starts talking to me about them struggling financially and they're married, part of that conversation should be, man, what's your wife think about what's going on? Had a conversation with somebody the other day. You know how many people I talk to that their spouse don't know certain things about what's going on financially? And one of the reasons is because they have two separate accounts. So you got two separate accounts, so there's no accountability to each other as a unit. Family is important. So when you see people struggling, mama,
yes.
It's like, where's family at? That's the thing. And another part of the verse, I don't know how your verse reads in King James probably, but during those 12 years, the Bible is clear that she tried some things during those 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
My Bible says, and she found no cure. Uh-oh.
Right.
So for 12 years, she tried to get healed. So here's the thing. It wasn't like she wasn't moving towards it, right? It wasn't like she was not trying to do anything. She was trying, but what she was trying wasn't working.
Amen.
So if what she was trying was not working, then that lets you know that something else has to be done.
That's good.
So how this is for all y'all listening.
Wow.
Whatever your situation is, however long you've been dealing with it, however constant it's been, with the things that you have tried, how long are you going to try those things that have not worked before you say, I need Jesus?
Amen.
See, I'm going somewhere else. There's a difference. See, some of this foolishness, and I'm going to call it foolishness, don't send me the hate mail, just listen to the whole point of what I'm about to say. Some of this foolishness about Jesus going to fix it. Okay, you just saying that because you don't want to see people hurt, but you ain't even asking them why they're in the situation they're in, because you just don't want to see them hurt. So then they just believe, oh, Jesus is going to fix it. But there has to be some action steps to some of this stuff, mama.
Yes.
If I had to classify myself theologically or what type of theologian I am, I'm a practical theologian. See, Jesus did practical stuff. So I'm really, really closely aligned to Jesus in ministry, because he was a practical theologian. He didn't just walk around just speaking stuff. He did stuff. So if he did stuff, then we should be willing to do stuff. All right. Whether it's for us or ourselves, or whether it's for other people. Let me tell you, I was sitting in my office today, just been working like a madman lately. Probably about 11 o'clock. My stomach hurt so bad in the front of my stomach. And I was like, oh, what in the world is going on? And then I kept on working. I said, okay, let me take a break. Got me a sandwich or two. Had me something to eat. By the end of the day, or about 3 o'clock, I had to go on the air at 92.1 FM in Columbus at 4. And on my way there, I just had to put my hand on my stomach, and I was like, I'm not having this. Lord, you know I got stuff to do. I put my hands on myself, mama.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not that there was nobody that could do it, but at that particular time, I ain't had nobody. All I had was me in that car, riding to the radio station, to be on the air for an hour, talking about PRF, talking about financial healing. I ain't have time. I had to be about the Father's business. What I'm saying to us is this. The only thing I did was just pressed. That's it. That's it. Do I still have some discomfort? Yes. God knows what's going on. God, you got to fix it. I'm going to watch what I eat. So I'm not going to go eat okay, I got some baked chicken in there, or not baked, some rotisserie chicken in there, something like that, put in a crock pot. I'm not about to go fix up a whole bunch of greasy French fries and try to eat healthy chicken with my greasy French fries. And then when my stomach starts hurting again, then I'm going to say, Lord, I need you to fix it. No, that ain't pressing. That's being ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want folks ignorant. We want folks to press in Jesus. So what happens, Mama? The Bible says in verse 44, coming up behind Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible says in this chapter of Luke, and immediately the bleeding stops.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Immediately the bleeding stops. Now, here's what we got to understand. We're talking about healing, right?
Yes.
She was healed. She received her healing. But do you see what she did? She pressed through the crowd.
Yes.
So the reality is, if you are seeking, if you have a desire for God to heal you financially, what crowd do you need to press through? Do you need to press through the crowd of Facebook and get off Facebook for 4 hours a doggone day, three of them at work? Do you need to press through Facebook and get off of Facebook looking at all the kind of craziness and foolishness that people are posting? Your friends, religious folks too, church folk, let's just call it what it is. Do you need to not watch certain things on TV? Here's what I know, Mama. This thing is spiritual warfare. It ain't never been as real as it is. It's so real now after the last couple of weeks of what some things have been happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The enemy has demons, his henchmen, that are waiting to get to us, to get in us by what we see and what we hear.
Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
The reality is, it's not people. It's the enemy.
Yes.
It's demons. So as this woman pressed through the crowd, I can imagine some people in the crowd. I mean, let's be real. Let's think about it like this. You got to make it practical. How many times have you been in a place where it's crowded, and then somebody's trying to get past you? Let's talk about we rode the subway and a bus. I'm standing there waiting for the doors to open, but yet somebody's trying to inch by. Dude, we can't go nowhere. It's packed on the 6.
Yes.
Sit your butt still and wait for the door to open, and then we all going to get out. Why you keep on inching? Get away. Get off of me. That's the same type of noise that can come from the enemy as you're trying to press through with your finances. Why you want to do that? Why you want to listen to PRF table? Girl, don't you know Empire is on? Girl, don't you know we got to watch the election?
Mm-hmm.
All that foolishness, that ain't going to help you with your situation.
Amen. That's good.
When we
good
talk
word.
About pressing through this crowd, Mama, I'm telling you, some of the stuff that is holding some of God's people back got to go. You don't need no will. Your family, your husband going to take care of you. You don't need your will. Your mama going to take care of it. Really? That ain't what's happening a lot of times. Girl, you don't need to invest in that 401. I need my money right now. They're matching contributions, Dodo. That's free money.
Amen.
That you're giving away. You see what I'm saying? No.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. Because you listening to folk that ain't got their stuff together. Oh, it doesn't matter. We don't have to worry about giving to the poor and helping folk. See, you want to follow these political nuts? Okay, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, Republican or Democrat, Republican, call them that. Same difference. Listening to folk that are not talking what God is talking, that's not talking what the Spirit of God is talking. So when you press it through and folk are saying all these different things, like I kind of give some crazy examples like I do, I'm not trying to hear that. No, you take that over there to the other person. No, you go over there with that. I'm not trying to hear that. I got stuff to do. If you don't do that, it's going to slow you down.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, the reality is what you're trying to do is get closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we not getting off the air at 9 o'clock. I don't think I can do it. Now think about this.
Yes.
How do we make this thing practical of going towards Jesus? How do we do that, Mama, when the physical person of Jesus is not here? So since the physical person of Jesus is not here, how do we do it? The only way we can do it is by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's it.
Amen.
It ain't a long dissertation. I wouldn't get a degree by putting that on a piece of paper, I guarantee you. But it's real.
Amen. And it's the truth. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So then I ask this. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? The Holy Spirit dwells within us. If we're believers, the Holy Spirit is in us. That doesn't mean we know how to operate by the Holy Spirit, but it's in us. Seriously, it is in us. So if that be true, that the Holy Spirit is within us as believers, those who have accepted Christ, those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, then the reality is then we have to really take into consideration that this whole thing of healing is a gift from God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Why do I say it's well, I don't even know. Let me go back to Luke chapter 8. She came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, and the bleeding stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?"
Right.
Watch this, Mama.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She didn't call out to him, Mama. She touched him.
Mm.
There's a difference.
Mm.
See, a lot of folk are calling out for Jesus. And Jesus is waiting to have a touch by us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a physical thing that needs to happen. Out of all those people, it could have been other folks calling him. He could have been looking around. But it wasn't until the one that touched the hem of his garment. That's some power. Ow! I'm scratching my bald head right now. That's powerful. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you was on a subway,
yes,
and you were sleeping on a subway like we used to do.
Yes.
And somebody touched your shoelaces, you're not going to wake up. Because it's not something that's attached to you that's going to make you move. But she just got close enough to touch a piece of the garment, not even the whole thing. Here's the reality. Please see this, y'all. In order for her to touch the hem of his garment, she had to be low. She had to be positioned low enough to touch the hem of her garment. So, if that's what this woman did, and it says immediately the bleeding stopped, then maybe, just maybe, your financial healing may be wrapped up in the fact that what you need to do is get low before the Lord.
That's, what a word of God. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, Jesus, thank you, Lord.
See, you can't walk uprightly in pride with pride and be low at the same time. You can't do it. You can't walk on your two feet, your two legs, and also walking on your hands and your feet at the same time. You can't do it. So look at what this woman did. She not only pressed through the crowd, she just said, "I'm going to get low enough to touch the master." And let me, the Bible doesn't say this, but let me tell you as I try to envision this. I want to believe that if Jesus would not have said to her, "Who touched me," that she would have continued on. I think it would have been more than just the hem of his garment that she would have grabbed a hold to. I think she would have kept going on and kept going on and kept going on until she got closer and closer and closer to him. But look at Jesus. It didn't take all that for him because he recognized her faith. The fact that she just touched the hem and the fact that she was low was all that Jesus needed for him to respond to her. So then the question becomes, I know I'm throwing out questions, but you have to think about these things. So then the question becomes, what is it that you and I need to do? What is it that you and I need to do? How low do we need to go? See, some folk, pride will keep folk from just getting down on their knees. See, this thing wasn't about her getting on her knees to pray. This was about her doing whatever she needed to do to get into position. It's about the position, Mom. I hope people understand that. This thing was about the position that she had to get into to be connected with Jesus. So if your position is requesting your credit report, request your credit report. If your position is going doing that will that we keep talking about over and over and over again, do the will. If your position is giving because you know you're not giving like God wants you to give, get up off the money. If your position is an act of service, get the servant. Oh, my goodness. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's what it says. So therefore, if healing, financial healing particularly, is a gift from God, then it's perfect. And if it's perfect and you see that the word has already said that it comes from God, it comes from the Lord, why would you not want that? Why would you not want that? Mama, I'm gonna throw two questions out here, and you know what? Maybe we will pick this back up next week, Mama.
Amen. Yes.
But here's two questions that I've already posted. One is this: what if the woman with this issue of blood waited on Jesus for her healing? What if she waited? What if she waited on him for her healing? She didn't wait on Jesus. She went towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Her healing would not have come if she didn't go towards Jesus. So the question becomes, you want to be healed financially? Who are you going towards? Are you going to payday loan? Are you going to title pawn? Are you going to the bankruptcy court? Are you going to the bookie? Are you going to the lottery? Are you going to the casino? Who are you going towards? What if the woman with the issue of blood had just waited on Jesus for her healing? And here's the second question, Mama. What would have happened to her condition if she waited? If she waited, and then he left, and then she came looking for him to heal him. What would have happened to her condition if she waited until he left? Waited, because remember, Jesus was a mover and a shaker, right?
Yes.
The Bible does not record Jesus being in one spot for 3 years of his earthly ministry. He was on the move. What would have happened if she would have waited until he left and then she came looking for him?
She would have died in the process because she was already losing blood for 12 years. That's
you know
a lot
what,
of blood
Mom?
To be losing.
That's a lot of blood. Watch this, though. Think about this. How many people do you know can bleed for 12 years? That defies logic. So how many people do you know, women, that can bleed for a whole year? I don't know, male, female. The reality is, I don't know nobody.
Me either.
So, I have two things that I can respond with that. One, death could have been the ultimate price to pay for not accepting and receiving their healing. The other part of it is, she could have suffered for another 12 years. God could have allowed her to suffer for another 12 years.
Yes.
He could have allowed her to suffer for... do we not have a story in the Bible where there was a man who was lame for 38 years?
8 years, that's right.
See, so folk really need to get this. What we're dealing with, folk need to get it. Don't just think that it's just going to go away. No, we need you to get moving towards it. I really want us to deal with that, those two questions a little bit more, Mama. And maybe we'll deal with them a little bit more on next week.
Yes.
But yeah.
And then I thought of another. It could just have been to glorify God, for people to see, for people to see. You know, for him to be glorified. Because remember, the blind man, they ask him, "What did your mom and your dad did?" He says, "It's for my glory." So I'm just saying that could have been a possibility. You know.
Right, and that possibility would have come after receiving the healing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, after receiving the healing, then when God healed, bam! Now here is, give glory to God. That's what the man said. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. He said it more than once. But if she would never have received her healing, and just sat there waiting on Jesus. See, I'm not going to tell anybody just to tell somebody stuff. I'm not going to tell you, just wait on the Lord.
That's good. And, you know,
You're not paralyzed. You're not sitting up there with triple pneumonia. You don't got tubes up in you. Right? If the situation is not one of those type of situations, you ain't got the ventilator in your mouth breathing for you, then you want God to heal you financially? Get moving towards it.
Yes.
It's going to take getting down. It's going to take humbling yourself. It's going to take saying, okay, God, I really need you to, Jesus, I need you to guide me. Holy Spirit, guide me to who I need to go to. You got somebody like Naaman that was able to go to the prophet, and Naaman wasn't even on the right side as far as the kingdoms were concerned. He's in enemy territory. If God can do that for Naaman, and if Naaman can show all that faith, ain't no way in the doggone world that believers should continue to keep going through what believers are going through when it comes to financial. I'm going to tell you, sit there if you want to. 12 can turn. 12 does become 24. 24 does become 48.
8.
48 does become 96, and death occurs eventually.
Ooh,
so we want people to be healed financially. We don't want people dying in their financial situations. We don't want that. So, Mom, I'll just put it out here one last time. PRFministry.org. Pastors, leaders, your folk are hurting. I'm dealing with your folk, not just in this area. We're dealing with them all over. Your folk are hurting. You can't do it by yourself. There's not too many ministries like the PRF Teacher Ministry that's real deal like this. Just not.
No.
And we can't get to everybody. But I promise you, the more of y'all that call, the more of y'all that email, God will send the additional facilitators that we need to be able to make sure that we can bless and minister to God's people. This stuff is serious.
Yes.
We don't have time. I'm going to say there wasn't time to play with it back in 2002 and 3 when God started itching something in my ear about this. We had time to play back in 2005 when God made it real clear, this is what I'm going to have you doing because you're talking about it, so now I'm going to have you doing something about it. Same thing in 2008 when we first taught our first lesson of PRF down in Biloxi, Mississippi. Going through a doctorate degree with PRF being the focus.
Praise God.
I'm telling you. My email address is Dunlap, D-U-N-L-A-P, at prfministry.org. And you can also hit any the rest of the team members up at admin, A-D-M-I-N, at prfministry.org. We're also available at area code 267-467-437-7999, 267-437-7999. We're going to be back in this area again on next week, Mama. We're done with naming, but there's something else that we're going to transfer or transition into. And I want people to think about this. I want us to all think about the gift. I want people to think about the gift. Take this as an opportunity to understand that your financial healing is a gift from God. I am telling you, with the authority that God has given me, that financial healing is a gift from God.
And I can interject there too by saying it's hard to try to really focus on what need to be focused on when you're drowning in debt. You know, when you can't pay your bills, when you don't have money for this, don't have money for such, to make a long story short, that takes up most of your mental thought life.
Right. You're right. And guess what? You're right, Mama. It is hard. However,
yes.
The Word of God tells us,
mm-hmm.
I can do all things
Christ.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
Right. And I was
so
coming from
this.
The...
hard, you continue to keep
okay.
saying, not you, but we,
mm-hmm.
see,
mm-hmm.
we have to, our language has to be different. I may have to get back on this thing about the language of healing next week. Our language
yes.
has to be different. Go ahead, Mom. I'm sorry, because you probably was going somewhere else, and, you know, I just interrupted. My bad.
Yes. No, when I was saying, I was just saying, it's just hard for a person. I mean, I'm saying, you know, that when a person has all this torn, you know, on their mind all the time, they don't focus on anything else, because the next month, okay, I got money from this church. Where am I going to get it from next month? Oh, my gosh, I lost my job. What am I going to do? I have kids in college, you know, I have a son that's handicapped. When you have all this financial, you know, burden, this is why financial healing, that's the point I want to make, is a gift from God, because it releases you and you're mm-hmm. able to help and to share with others. And you're in a mind to want to help others, but it's hard to help others when you're so bogged down with all of the, you know, financial. It's just like emotional healing. So once we get, when this financial healing, when we're financially healed, it just lets you flow. You can just flow better in the things of God. You hear better from God because you're not trying to make it happen yourself. You know what I'm trying to say?
I hear you saying that it's hard. But here's the thing. Let's think about the crowd. There has
okay.
to be some people that are not mm-hmm. constantly just telling. See, you say it's hard. I say it's hard. You got the other folks
okay.
in the crowd saying, don't even work that. Don't even do this. That's too much work. You're gonna go do some PRF learning sessions. You're going to go every Thursday night listening to the PRF table. You're going to go, instead of going to Bible study, you're going to go to this thing. Yeah, I'm going. See, what
okay.
you say is not what God is saying. I'm not talking about
right.
you. I'm not
That's
saying you,
true.
Mama, but I'm
That's
saying
true.
It. What
Understand.
You may
mm-hmm.
say may not
yes.
be what God is saying. So what I
yes,
want to focus
so.
On is, what is God saying? God says,
saying,
I can do all
okay.
things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what God
That's
says.
Right. Right.
And the reality
okay.
is, just like with Naaman, even to go back to Naaman, Naaman ran up against roadblocks. It wasn't an easy journey. So, see, the
true.
Thing is, we're not, I guess I'll go here. We're going to talk about it again next week. The definition of a healing is a natural process in which the body repairs itself. So the reality is, what we're dealing with is you got folk that are looking for miracles, financial miracles, and God is saying in this season, I'm trying to heal you financially. Because if I heal you financially, I won't just heal you on the outside, I'm going to heal you on the inside as well. But see, people are looking for the miracles and not even thinking about, because see, that miracle does not change you on the inside. It changes the situation.
Amen.
So if a person is broke, no, they don't have any money. No, they got laid off of their job. Bills are due tomorrow. Well, let's look at it like this. They get laid off today. Tomorrow they know the rent is due. I'm sorry, but since this is your last day, we've already stopped the direct deposit, so we're going to have to mail your check to you. But then somehow a check comes in the mail that day for something that you had nothing that you knew about. I'm going to say, you know what, God gave you a financial miracle, Jack, because it wasn't stuff that you did. It wasn't like you went out looking for a job, and this is the result, this is the fruit of you looking for a job. No, that was a miracle. That was something that God did all by himself. They ain't had nothing to do with you. It's the process.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where we are. We have to continuously help people to understand that financial healing, and quite frankly, other types of healing as well, but financial healing particularly is a process. If you take that definition, I encourage you, take that definition of healing and break it down. The natural process. Take that word natural. Take that word process. Take that word body. Take that word prepare. Take that word itself. And just meditate on those words. And see how those words become applicable to financial healing. Mama, the radio station, we're on 92.1, we're on 92.1 FM in Columbus, Georgia, WRCGColumbus.com. You can listen to it online, so anybody can listen to that show at 4 o'clock from 4 to 5 as well. When I think about, we have 7,000 people listening to that show. 7,000 in this area. That's not including the online. That's the people listening on the radio. Every show, 7,000. That's the low end. That's the dedicated numbers. There may be up to 20,000 listening to portions of it. But I'll just go with the 7,000. Of the 7,000 dedicated folks that's listening to that show, Living Life More Abundantly, 7,000. What's half of that, 50% is 3,500. This should take 10%. That's 700 folk. That's 10%. 10% of 7,000. 700. Okay, let's break it down. Can we even go with 5%? Mama, 5% is 350.
Yes.
Can we break it down even more? If we go 2.5%, it's like 175. I'll stop at 175 because in the book of Acts, it says there was 120 or 124, depending on what translation you're using. And look at how powerful 120 or 124 people have impacted us.
Yes.
Especially here on the PRF table, because we are dealing with part of the scripture, part of the history of what came from 120-something people. So here's what I'm saying now. We're done for tonight. But here's how I'm going to go on. We're going to go off. I want to see 125 people say, you know what, let's do this. Let's run this process. 125. If God sent his spirit to 120 or 124 during that time to get things started to be an example model church for us, something wrong with us if we don't take advantage. If we don't say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay in this place, wherever that place is, until you send your spirit. Because when you send your spirit, then that's when the power is going to be there.
Amen.
I'm done. I'm not giving y'all no more tonight. That's it. I got to get up. I got to go into work at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, listen, all y'all who have been listening, okay. It has been a pleasure. We are thankful for all of you. Things have been going really, really well for the PRF family. We are all on this ministry team. We are all kind of busy right now. God has us just taking care of things and taking care of people and being involved with people's lives and family. So we are, again, very, very grateful for everybody who listens, who has labored, who continues to just be with us, all those who go back and listen to the archive shows. So look, what we want you to do is we want you to spread the word. There is no need for people to sit there and not receive the financial healing that God has for them, knowing that there's a place called the PRF table that's there waiting on you through the Spirit of God to be able to help you with your situation. So with that, on behalf of myself, Mama, Marianne yes. Williams, Shatara Sherwood, who's out there, Adia Sanders, Brother Feaster, we just bid you a good night. We just say thank you. And again, it's all about love. Y'all have a wonderful evening. We see y'all next Thursday.